Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Alpek's third quarter 2018 earnings conference call. With us this morning, we have from Alpek, José Valdés, CEO, José Carlos, CFO, and Hernán Lozano, IRO, who will discuss the company's performance and answer any questions you may have. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded and will be available on the company's website, www.alpek.com. I will now hand the call over to Mr. Lorenzo. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome. We very much appreciate everyone's participation today. This call will be divided into two parts. First, Pepe Valdez, our CEO, and José Carlos, our CFO, will provide a general overview of Alpek's third quarter 2018 performance and an update on relevant events. Afterwards, we will have a Q&A session. Before we get started, let me remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. Alpek undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Pepe Valdez.
Thank you, Hernán. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I will begin by introducing our new CFO, José Carlos Pons. José Carlos is joining us after 22 years at Nemak, where he held several executive positions, such as Director of the South American Business Unit. His last position was VP of Business Development, where he played a key role in multiple strategic initiatives, including acquisitions, joint ventures, and organic investment. In addition to his finance-related duties as Alpek's CFO, José Carlos will lead our strategic planning team and work closely with the planning teams at the business unit level, providing support in M&A, project evaluation, and forecasting, among others. I am excited to have José Carlos in our team and very much look forward to leveraging his strategic vision as we seek new value-enhancing opportunities ahead. Moving on to results. The third quarter marks a new record for Alpek's consolidated EBITDA. The impact associated to the fire in Altamira and the temporary disruptions caused by Hurricane Florence were more than offset by a favorable feedstock price environment, better than expected global reference polyester margins, and the consolidation of Suape Zitepe. Oil and feedstock prices rallied above Alpek's revised guidance during the third quarter. The spot Brent crude oil price rose above $80 per barrel, and the U.S. paraxylene contract price surged to its highest level since 2014. The rising feedstock price environment had a positive effect on EBITDA. As anticipated, reference integrated PET margins in Asia decreased after the spike observed in the second quarter. However, third quarter results still benefited from the peak Asian reference margin posted in June. A proxy to illustrate this would be to adjust the quarterly average Asian margin calculation by a one-month delay. Not surprisingly, the adjusted average third quarter Asian reference margin was higher than during the second quarter. In spite of the recent rally, we maintain a more conservative view on Asian reference polyester margins. This was reaffirmed by the month-to-month decrease observed after June. Even so, we do expect a sustained underlying recovery year-over-year, supported by healthier supply-demand balance. Regarding our operations, I am glad to inform you that the required PTA plant in Altamira were completed and the facility was restarted in early September. The unplanned shutdown caused by the fire on July 15 was shorter than expected. In the third quarter, we were also concerned about the potential impact from Hurricane Florence to our three polyester sites located in North and South Carolina. Fortunately, the facilities were only subject to short disruptions caused by the storm. Our polyester team worked diligently to mitigate the impact of the Altamira unplanned shutdown and Hurricane Florence. In Brazil, this was the first full quarter of Alpek control operations at Suape Sitepe since we integrated the assets on May 1st. We were pleased by the sequential improvement that this business achieved, driven by a combination of strong global polyester margins and a sustained ramp-up in production that resulted in higher sales volume and lower unitary conversion costs. Next, I will focus on updates related to the M&G bankruptcy, the cogeneration plant divestment, and the U.S. PET anti-dumping case. Alpek continued to support M&G Mexico's PET operations through secure financing. The final tranche of the $60 million secure credit facility was disbursed during the third quarter as the process advanced among M&G and its creditors to implement a definitive restructuring plan. As you may recall, this credit facility was issued in January and is secured by a second lien on M&G Mexico's PET plant in Altamira. Regarding the Corpus Christi project, we are actively engaged in the process to obtain the required approvals from governmental authorities to execute our winning bid. Unfortunately, we are unable to provide an accurate estimate on the duration of this regulatory process at this time. The process to finalize the sale of our two cogeneration power plants in Mexico moved forward as multiple open items were resolved during the third quarter. It is important to note that the Altamira cogeneration plant's construction is on track to conclude in the coming months. Also, the signing of long-term power contracts advanced a favorable rise in Mexican power tariffs. The majority of the Altamira plant power should be contracted out in anticipation to the facility's startup, as occurred with the Coso La Casque plant a few years back. On the case to address unfairly traded PET imports, the U.S. Department of Commerce announced affirmative final determinations in its anti-dumping duty investigations. Final rates on PET imports from Brazil, Indonesia, Korea, Pakistan, and Taiwan range from 5 to 276%. Next, the U.S. International Trade Commission is expected to issue its final injury determinations during the fourth quarter, making the end of the trade case. On a final note, year-to-date results reflect a combination of favorable elements, such as higher oil and feedstock prices, better-than-expected global polyester margins, consolidation of Suape Sitepe, and a lower-than-expected impact from the unplanned Altamira plant shutdown. As a result, 2018 EBITDA is on track to exceed over $750 million revised guidance by more than $100 million, setting a new record, a new yearly record for Alpek. However, we expect fourth quarter EBITDA to be lower than the two previous quarters based on seasonality, normalized Asian integrated, more than normalized, I should say, lower Asian integrated PET margins following the mid 18 spike, and a potential inventory loss, assuming feedstock prices soften before year end. At this point, I would like to turn the call over to Jose Carlos.
Thank you, Pepe. Hello, everyone. I'm very excited to join Alpek team and taking on this new role as our business is going through several transformational events, along with a strong recovery. I very much look forward to meeting with many of you in the near future. On to consolidated results, the third quarter was marked by growth in volume, sales, and EBITDA.
Alpek's third quarter revenue was up 48% year-on-year and 10% quarter-on-quarter, driven by higher average consolidated prices and volume, mainly in the polyester segment. Consolidated volume was 16% higher than 3Q17 and up 2% when compared with 2Q18, as growth driven by the Suave Citep acquisition more than offset a decrease in organic volume, caused mainly by the temporary disruption associated to the fire in Altamira PTA and the Hurricane Florence. Third quarter consolidated EBITDA was a record $274 million, including $40 million net gain from three non-operating items. The first item was a $33 million non-cash inventory gain resulting from a strong rally in feedstock prices during the quarter. Second, a $9 million gain from advanced insurance payments associated to the Altamira fire. And third, a $1 million in non-recurring legal expense. Adjusting for these three items, comparable consolidated EBITDA was $234 million, more than 100% higher than 3Q17, boosted mainly by the polyester segment. A favorable feedstock price environment, the strong year-over-year recovery in global polyester margin, and the consolidation of Suape y Pepe contributed to comparable polyester EBITDA growth of 198% when compared to the third quarter 2017 and 12% versus second quarter 2018. Moreover, comparable plastics and chemicals 3Q18 EBITDA was up 36% on a year-over-year basis, as growth in expandable polyester M and caprolactam complemented a strong polypropylene performance. In contrast, comparable plastics and chemicals EBITDA decreased 3% quarter-on-quarter as growth in expandable polyester M and caprolactam was more than offset by the effect of lower polypropylene volume. Moving down the P&L, Alpec's third quarter profit related to the controlling interest was $80 million. Compared to $142 million in the previous quarter, as higher operating income was more than offset by non-cash foreign exchange losses and higher income tax. Regarding our balance sheet and certain cash flow items, net debt was $1.6 billion, up $341 million year-to-date, including the $435 million investment in Suape Citep. Also, the increase in sales, coupled with a rising feedstock price environment, has required additional investment in networking capital, mainly for the polyester segment. Although relative to sales, networking capital days are lower year over year. It is important to note that this was the first quarter since 2Q17 that net debt posted a sequential decrease. Consequently, our leverage ratio continued to decline during the third quarter. Net debt to EBITDA has come down from 3.3 times at the close of 2017, or 2.9 times in the second quarter, to 1.9 times in 3Q18. This concludes my remarks, and I would now like to open the call for questions. Operator, please instruct the participants on how to place their questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for a question. We will now take our first question from Alexandra Obregon. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and congratulations on the results, and Jose, congratulations on your new role. I have just one question. Could you please talk on the dynamics for the plastics division today and what you're expecting in the near to midterm, particularly as the trade negotiations in the world have escalated? I guess what I mean is, have you seen so far or expect any changes in the segment due to tariffs between China and the U.S. or any new trade negotiations? Thank you.
Alejandra, we So far, I have to say what we have seen in terms of the trade issues between particularly China and the U.S., what has happened in our plastic products and also polyester products. We have seen very significant import duties from Chinese products into the U.S. So I would say that for us, I believe they're, you know, sort of help a little bit. But as you well know, in the case of polyester, which is our largest business, we have already a dumping duties. So the additional duties on polyester imports has a relatively minor effect. But in terms of plastics, it's, you know, a little bit positive, I would say. We don't have traditionally or normally a lot of imports in the U.S. from China. A little bit of EPS, a little bit of polypropylene perhaps, not a lot. So again, the fact that duties were imposed on these products also for imports from China should be a positive, but relatively minor.
Okay, thank you very much. And just a very quick follow-up. If we were to quantify the amount of imports in these divisions from China, is it possible to disclose what percentage is coming from there?
I don't have the numbers right now, but it's very small percentage. It's
okay,
very small, meaning less than 5% of the total demand.
Okay, thank you very much. This was very helpful, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Frank McGann from Bank of America. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good day. Thank you. One question. In terms of the planned sale of the cogeneration plants, I was just wondering what your thoughts are now on the importance of that sale, given that you're having better results and the electricity market in Mexico seems to be improving. I was wondering if that's something that you could reconsider, or that potentially you might back off from moving forward with those sales.
That's a good question, and you're right on target. Yes, remember we have claimed before that the reason for us divesting the cogeneration assets was mostly twofold. Number one, of course, for us it's critical to maintain our investment grade rating, and that was number one. Number two, also because we thought this would be a value enhancing opportunity for shareholders. So from the perspective of the investment grade rating, I you are right. I think we do have now much more flexibility than we thought a year ago or even 3 months ago. So from that perspective, of course, the pressure is off for us to sell this asset. And on the other hand, the situation that is true is that after having a very difficult first quarter in terms of rates of electricity, of power in Mexico, the rates have improved dramatically. So right now, the key issue for us is to continue to sign more long-term contracts in the next month, because the more contracts we have signed, the higher the value of these facilities. So we are also looking at that, and for sure. The only reason why we will continue with this divestment is if we can, in fact, get a significant value from the sale.
Okay, thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Vanessa Quiroga. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and congratulations for the results. My first question is regarding your PTA capacity in North America. Now that Brazil is running at healthy utilization rates from our estimates, Where do you plan to place any extra PK capacity that you now have in North America? And the second question is regarding margins. How have margins performed during the last couple of months, and if you think that this is what we will see in the fourth quarter in your results for polyester and polypropylene? Thank you.
Vanessa, in terms of capacity, well, yeah, for sure, it's a good question. We were exporting PTA to Brazil around 300,000 tons per year. After the acquisition of the PTA Brazilian plant, Petroquímica Suape, we are planning to reduce those exports to approximately 70,000 tons per year. So that you're right, that frees up like 230,000 tons of PTA in our Altamira plant. We have to also be aware of the fact that we are net buyers of PTA in the U.S. So most of that PTA will go to supply our North American operations of polyester. So we are
okay.
You know, we're in very good shape there. We are, you know, relatively healthy on that. Now, in relation to the polyester margins in Asia, I think yeah, it's fair to say that these margins reached a peak in June, and they have been coming back down since then. The margins, the very high margin lasted for like 1 month in June, and then July was down, and sequentially the other months have been coming down. But the important thing for us, really, I think, is that where do the margins stabilize after the end of the day? And we still believe that they're going to be stabilizing more around the $300 per ton, which is, compares to the $200-$225 in the previous years, 17 or 16 or 16. So we do believe, of course, and we never assume that these very high margins that we saw in June, July, and May would remain. But we still believe that we're going to have higher than historical margins for a while, due to supply demand balances in Asia and in China in particular. So, but for sure in terms of not of month, but in terms of quarter, yes, the higher quarterly margins were in third quarter, were slightly higher than during the second quarter. And but as I say, so there will be a lower margin for fourth quarter that we are anticipating, but still at a healthy level. And on the propylene or polypropylene, I would say the margins remain strong, and we believe that the margins will be strong for the next couple of years. Until new capacity enters into the market. So that's more or less the situation. Let me explain something else, because it is going to be important for you and a lot of the other analysts.
Yes, please.
The impact of the margins in Asia has been reflected mostly in our South American operations. Because in our South American operations, both Argentina and Brazil, our PET prices are linked to the Asian margin. So they more or less follow the Asian margin, Brazil and Argentina. In the U.S. market, and I think this is very important, which is by far our largest volume, only like 7% of our volume was linked to Asian margin. Okay?
Okay. So, now that's very helpful. Where are margins today, or most recently? Where are what are margins? Are they around 300 right now already, or?
Look, the last number I saw this morning are somewhere between, depending on whether you talk China or Asia, are somewhere between 260, 280, 290. But at this point, we have to be careful with those numbers because somehow the prices of paraxylene are extremely high, and there is the expectation, I would say, in the different players, producers and buyers of PET in particular, that these prices of paraxylene are going to come down. And for that reason, if these prices come down, perhaps the margins will improve a little bit. Okay, so right now they are on 260, 280, 290, but I would say that they should remain there, or we are expecting a little bit of improvement once the paraxylene prices normalize.
Okay, that's great. That's so very helpful. Thanks, Pepe.
You're welcome, Juanita.
We will now take our next question from Eduardo Altamiro from HSBC. So, go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my question. Actually, I have two. One is in terms of the dividend sort of outlook for next year. It seems that with cash flow where it stands, we had made a call that you could potentially issue up to, let's say, around, based on where today's price would be, around 10% dividend yield for next year based on what your cash flow is for this year. Is that too outlandish? I mean, within your company statutes, it's been around 70 to 120. Last time you paid a large dividend, it was 148 plus. So just want to understand kind of the dynamics of what you're seeing, at least for next year, in terms of returning cash to investors.
At this point, I would feel very confident that we will pay a dividend next year. I would not dare to say what sort of yield that is going to be. But I think that's going to be depending on the, again, divesting of the cogeneration assets. And probably, I would say within the next 2-3 months, we will be able to come up with a number.
Understood. Thank
sorry
you.
Sorry not to be more specific.
No. I completely understand. And then from a longer-term perspective, essentially, your master play of consolidating PET in the Americas has worked very well. It seems that you've hit a pretty good stride. The cycle is working in your favor right now. How should we start looking at the company? Should we continue to see it as kind of a base chemicals company? Should we look at kind of any sort of further potential downstream integration, upstream integration at this point within any of your chains? What is it you're looking, let's say, kind of not necessarily within the next 6 months to 1 year, but 3 to 5 years down the line of where you'd like to be?
Look, I think we have been looking at integration projects for quite some time now. For us, it's critical to integrate into propylene supply, for example. That's the most critical one. But unfortunately, we haven't found the right opportunity yet. So we have to see and wait a little bit now for the new administration to better understand what they're planning to do with the energy reform here in Mexico. Ideally for us, of course, to be able to backward integrate, we would need feedstock, local feedstock. Eventually, if with the energy reform, we have hopes that this local feedstock will be available. Mostly ethane and propane, for example. If more and more people are allowed to invest in exploration and production, I mean, you have at least a hope that more ethane and propane would be produced in Mexico, and that would give us the opportunity of backward integrating, for example, into glycol as one example, and into propylene. Those two projects we have mentioned, for quite some time that we would like to have this integration. But again, at this time, we still have to wait and see what opportunities we have with the feedstock. prices.
Excellent. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
In terms of upstream integration, I don't really see anything in the horizon for us.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much once again, and congratulations on the results.
We will now take our next question from Gabriel Barra from UBS. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hello, Gabriel. Can you hear us? Operator, let's move on to the next question, please. See if Gabriel...
No problem. We will now take our next question from Alejandro Chavales from Actinver. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call and congratulations on the results. Just to, I would like a little bit more insight into how does the capacity utilization in Brazil is looking right now. A simple calculation will tell us that you're very close to full utilization with the number you disclosed regarding volumes in Brazil. So just a little more insight in how is that ramping up. Should we think about the same 170,000 tons going forward? That would be my only question that has been already asked.
Okay. Alejandro, look, capacity utilization in Brazil right now is 100% in PTA, and I would say like 60% in PET. That's more or less capacity utilization, and going forward, we still see PTA running at capacity. In fact, I can say that we had a new record, a new production record in PTA during the month of August. But then we had some reliability issues in September that we are trying to fix, mostly related to maintenance that was postponed in the previous month. So we're right now working very hard in improving reliability of the PTA plant, but assuming that we will be able to solve those issues, we will expect to operate at capacity that plant during the next months. In PET, that's going to depend a little bit on the Asian margin, but we will expect to be operating at you know, let's say 60% going forward as well. That means that we supply, you know, our share of the domestic market and some exports of PET as well. So that's going to be the situation for us.
Okay, thanks a lot. Very useful.
We will now take our next question from Vincent Salanga from Brad Zesco. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Pepe and Ron. I had two questions. First of all, just to come back on a point that I was mentioning, Alpek has been capturing a good price momentum in its PET and PTA export market. Is there any delayed positive price impact that we can still capture in your contracts in North America as you renew these annual terms? And my second question would be if you can provide some updates on your hybrid recycled virgin pellet project in Argentina. Thank you very much.
If the margins in Asia will have remained at the 400-500 level, I would say that your question or your idea is right. I mean, if that were the case, yes, the possibility of capturing price increases in North America during next year would be very high. But since we are assuming that the prices in North America, I mean in Asia, are going to remain, as I say, in this 280, 300 level, then we believe that based on this assumption, North American margins next year will be very similar to what they are today.
Got it.
which is obviously not a bad place to be. Okay, I mean margins now are are reasonable, not great, but certainly much better than last year, and so at this level, I mean I believe we could be having a reasonable profitability. In Argentina, of course, the recycle plant is operating better and better. We have had a lot of issues in the last couple of years. Some of these issues have to do with the collection of the of bottles. You know, it's sometimes difficult. But we are learning and we are making improvements, and we are now very confident that operation is going to be operating reasonably well in the next months.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So I was going to say, as you're probably aware, recycling is becoming more important part of the business going forward. Our customers are very keen to increase their recycling content.
And I remember you were developing, Alpek was, pioneer in developing, a PET pellet that was half, half recycled, half virgin, right? Is that project moving forward? Or?
Well, I mean, yes, we are working on two areas. One, of course, is to produce, fully recycled PET that can be used like 100% if you want to. But yes, we are also working in recycling, in using part of this recycle in our plant together with the virgin production. And that, then you can adjust the percentage depending on quality of the bottles and customer requirements. Yeah, we're working on both alternatives.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We will now take our next question from Gilberto Garcia from Barclays. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. Can you provide more color on the situation with the M&G process in Corpus? Is there anything you can tell us regarding if the process is taking longer than you originally expected, or is it just, there's limited clarity and just have to wait? Thank you.
Well, honestly, we knew the process was going to take long, but it's taking a little bit longer than we had expected. And it's at this stage, it's complying with the FTC request. The FTC has been very thorough in this in this situation, everything is depending on their decisions. But if you were asked to ask me, I would say we're cautiously optimistic that we will be able to address the FTC main concern.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, press star 1 for any questions. We will now take a follow-up question from Vanessa Quiroga from Credit Suisse. Your line is open.
Thank you. The follow-up question is regarding the contracts that you're probably negotiating now or have been negotiating for about a month with the North American customers. Do you have any feedback on how much of the improvement in prices and margins that we've seen globally can be reflected in this upcoming contracts?
Well, Vanessa, as I mentioned before, we are going to have improvement in the contract, some improvement in the contract, but perhaps in some of the spot prices, we are going to have a slightly lower margin. So overall, we are estimating that the margins for 2019 should in the U.S. in particular should be very similar to the margins in 2018.
Ah, okay, that's great. Thanks.
You're welcome.
We will now take our next question from Michael Schwab from Arca Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. Two questions. First is, with the finalization of the penalties on the pet imports due in the U.S. due in the fourth quarter and later in the year, do you expect that to have any significant impact on the profitability of that operation? Or would you say that it's more of a protection? That's the first question. Second question is about the cogen plants. So I wonder if you could give us an updated estimate of what kind of EBITDA contribution those plants can make, maybe now that you have more contracts signed, you have a better sense, and the timing of that EBITDA win. You know, should we see a lot of it or most of it next year? Thank you.
Okay. First of all, the penalties for PET imports. I believe that the restrictions on imports and duties on imports will reflect more than anything in volume. I think the idea, at least our idea, is that this will allow us to increase our volume, replacing imports that were illegally in terms of pricing, coming into the U.S. So I think there's going to be an impact in volume for sure, not in margins, because at the end of the day, in margins we're always, global margins, particularly in Asia and China, we're always looking at that as a reference.
How important can the volume increase? Like, I'm just trying to get a sense. Is it an important volume increase, or is it something kind of?
Well, you could say that in the market, we could say hopefully some sort of 8 to 10% of the domestic shipments could increase. I mean, imports are a little bit more than 700,000 tons. Market is a little bit below 4 million. So some of those imports will be reduced. I'm assuming 300,000 to 400,000 perhaps of volume that we will recover from imports, which again is like a 10% share of the market.
Okay, great. Then cogen?
In cogen, in terms of the EBITDA, we are now considering that the plan will start supplying commercially to customers in February. And we consider that by that time, we will have contracted hopefully 70 to 80% of the Altamira operation, and the EBITDA estimation we have at this time would be, together with the existing facility, certainly more than $100 million.
Thank you.
We will now take a follow-up question from Alejandro Chavela. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a follow-up question. Regarding the FCC's concerns for the Corpus Christi transaction, what would be the FCC concerns? You mentioned it, but I would like a little bit more clarity regarding what the FCC is concerned about regarding the JV and so forth.
No, well, the concerns are the usual concerns in these cases, okay? That in terms of concentration and in terms of market share consolidation, the famous HH index. Those are the concerns. But not only that, I think it's very important for them that they're, you know, getting feedback from customers. That's extremely important. And they've gone through this process. And as I mentioned before, we are hopeful that customers are supporting the startup of this project. And at the end, we're hopefully that this will help the all of the approval process.
Okay, thanks a lot. Very clear.
With no questions in the queue, I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Lozano for any additional or closing remarks.
Yes, I would just like to thank everyone for participating in today's call. Please feel free to contact us if you have any follow-up questions or comments, and have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference. Thank you for joining us.